Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, 1250 AM, and the radio.com app. Got cash for you all the way through 6 o'clock right here on The Fan in our national text contest. Guys, before we get into this Packer power structure conversation, because we got to get Gary's reaction to Tom Silverstein, and I want to play him a piece that we, when we had Tom Silverstein on the air last week, on Friday after we wrote the article, that was really, really interesting for us. But can somebody explain to me how this is going to work in LA? It feels like, as a millennial, it feels like Full House, where you got the dad who's got the three daughters, and we need somebody to be able to watch them. So, like, Jeannie Buss has these good players. She's got Lonzo Ball, LeBron James, and name a third. And we need somebody to come in and watch LeBron because we want to make sure that he's very, very comfortable. But we need somebody to run the entire house, so we bring in Frank Vogel, and then we have Kurt Rambis somewhere in the middle of this situation.
And his wife.
And his wife.
Yeah, his wife is involved in the basketball operations with Jeannie. Yeah. Yeah, his wife's got a bunch of say in this whole thing.
So how many cooks are in this kitchen?
Like a bunch.
You've got Pelinka, the general manager, obviously.
And who everybody apparently hates around the NBA.
The NBA, right, because he's a jerk. And then you have Jeannie. And then you have Rambis and his wife with Jeannie influencing her. And then you've got Pelinka, who I think is still talking to Magic. And then you've got LeBron and what LeBron wants. That all has to be taken into consideration as well. So it appears that Jason Kidd is on this roster or on this coaching staff because of the fact that LeBron and Magic both wanted him. He would have been the next head coach at Magic State. So now he is going to be second in command. And then you're going to have Vogel, who is a Phil Jackson guy, it sounds like, to go along with what Rambis and Jeannie Buss want. Going forward. So it was a compromise, I guess you could say, at the end of the day. And the reason why it's a three-year deal and all the national media are jumping off bridges because, oh my God, Beilein got a five-year deal in Cleveland, and boy, oh boy, they were trying to screw Tyronn Lue on purpose. Listen to me. Nobody's stupid. They all know it's going to be another rebuild once LeBron's done here in 3 years. They're not stupid. So they're not going to pay an outrageous amount of money for an extra 2 years of somebody that they know isn't going to probably make a difference. So what's probably going to happen is Vogel's going to be the coach for at least the first 2 years, and then after that point, then Kidd will get that third year, if need be, if they still haven't done anything, and then Kidd leads the rebuild. And they look at Kidd to do the rebuild because he essentially did the rebuild in Milwaukee when he had a bunch of young, unproven guys that he had trying to get to that next level. That's how it looks. And Kidd mentored Lonzo Ball apparently last summer, and worked with him last summer, trying to get him to that next level. So he's got that relationship. He's got the LeBron relationship. And then there's been some rumors over the weekend that he's also got a relationship with Kyrie, which led to the Kyrie rumors, which Stephen A. Smith squashed this morning. But there were those rumors as well, that with Kidd, now maybe Kyrie would come. Kidd obviously still has pull around the league, regardless of how much Bucks fans hate him or not, he does.
Gary, this feels weird. Just weird. I don't know how you have that many people making decisions.
Well, I mean,
like we thought we had a lot of people making decisions in Green Bay.
Or Milwaukee for the Bucks.
Well, Bucks are the same situation, yeah. Well, Bucks are working, though.
Yeah, Bucks one's working. This one's not working in L.A. That's a good way to put it. 414-799-1250. Tom Silverstein outlines a power structure difference that we haven't seen in Green Bay in the last 26 years, Gary. One thing that stuck with me when he was listing off the accomplishments that this power structure had were one person, after Bob Harlan, put Ron Wolf in charge of football operations solely. He was in charge of everything that happened with that football team. 26 seasons, 2 Super Bowl rings, 7 trips to the conference championship game, 19 division titles, and 21 playoff appearances. Now Mark Murphy has decided to change it, that where everybody in football is going to report to him. Russ Ball is in charge of the director of football operations, so seemingly everything that isn't the 53-man roster.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Gutekunst is in charge of player personnel and that 53-man roster.
Mm-hmm.
And then Matt LaFleur will also report to Mark Murphy as the head coach of the football team that we all kind of remember is the main part of this situation. Tom Silverstein, when he joined us the other day, had this to say if it doesn't work, that this is how he believes the conflict is going to be resolved.
If they lose, if they just have a disastrous year, I think it's the opposite of what you said. I think Gutekunst survives and everybody else is gone. That's my theory. That's if they just bomb. If LaFleur goes, 4-12, or they just look terrible this year, then, that's how it's going to shake out, because I think we've seen Gutekunst has a pretty good knowledge of personnel, and we'll see how the season plays out.
That Tom Silverstein believes that if this doesn't work, Brian Gutekunst is going to get an opportunity to stay with the Green Bay Packers, and everybody else is going to be fending for themselves.
Because Brian is considered one of the up-and-young-coming next GMs of the NFL. All these, and if you just think about Russ Ball, he's been in it for a while, and so he'll be the odd guy out. They're not going to get rid of Brian because he's considered, John Dorsey. He's considered, who's the cat in Seattle?
John Schneider.
He's in that group of guys. And I think he'll still have an opportunity. They're not going to let that guy get away because they still feel like he's one of those up-and-coming guys.
I ask you, do you, as a former player, now media member, do you even care about the Packers structure?
No, I don't. And here's why I don't. I'm not. And I'm going to tell Steve, and I think Steve will understand this when I say this, and I think he's probably shocked by there are no media members up there that likes this. They're all on Steve's side.
I heard Silverstein say he was against it.
Yeah.
And I told Gary in the break, I'm like, doesn't like it either,
none of
Gary.
Them do. And I go, Rob Demoski, none of those guys like the structure. None of them do.
So I'm not by myself.
No, you're not.
Okay.
So just so
that's
you know.
That's positive.
Yeah, you're not alone.
How does it feel for the first time?
But.
It's a nice start to a Monday.
But I really don't care. And here's why I don't care, because Steve was the same guy that was against the Milwaukee Bucks, and where are they at?
Yep, you're right.
Eastern Conference Finals.
And so I don't care. Just win. I don't care. Get it done. Here's what I do know. And this is why when Ron Wolf came in, this is why he did what he did. He got rid of everybody, including secretaries, because he wanted one voice. He wanted everybody to be on the same team, and he wanted to control the message and the narrative. Here's what I do know. I do know there were a lot of complaining when Ted was doing it. And involved, doing what he was doing. Nobody liked it. All his sources or whoever Tom talked to, sources, all that kind of stuff, those are the same people who was giving shade to Ted Thompson. Same people. Because they didn't like it. And they had a right not to like it.
Because it wasn't working.
It wasn't working. Okay, so I'm not saying anything bad about those people.
Mm-hmm.
They had a right not to like, because it was horribly wrong. Now those are the same people who don't like this. Do you see what I'm saying?
So it's back to the conversation where you say, what do you want?
Well, what you want is to win, right? You want to ultimately win a championship. Now, and I guess I would ask people, what would be successful for you for this to work? Is it to win a Super Bowl? Or is it to get back to the playoffs again? Is it because they're not relevant anymore? Is it to keep, get back to being relevant again?
I don't think it's about what happens this year or next year.
Well, no.
I think what it's going to be about is when this thing, when they struggle and they have a bad year or two, will they be able to overcome fractures amongst the four of them or three of them where it destroys everything and it's what in its front? Because it's easy when it's winning, like the Bucks are right now. Man, it's easy to love the structure because they're winning.
Right.
But when you run into that tough time,
right,
can you avoid finger pointing and leaks to the media about everybody pointing fingers at each other? They haven't even gotten into this season, and they already have it. So
what do they have?
Well, if you read the Silverstein article, you've already got people frustrated by Russ Ball and how much power he has.
Who's frustrated?
The sources, whatever, whoever his time is talking to, that they're frustrated that they think Russ Ball essentially has too much power. Gutekunst thought he was going to have more power and was blown away by the fact when they came to him with the job offer that he essentially wasn't getting Ted's job.
Right.
He was getting what he ended up with.
Right.
But he's not an idiot. There's only so many of these jobs you take.
Right.
Right. So you take it. If you read that piece, it just lines up what we thought was, which is Russ Ball is going to be the GM with all the power Ted had. McCarthy threw a fit, and they said, okay, guess we can't do that.
Right.
So now how do I make Mike happy and Russ happy without fallout?
They report to me.
Let's go get Gutekunst. We'll make him in charge of the roster to make Mike happy.
Right.
Mike, you report to me. No more worrying about Russ, even though you're the one that had Russ come in from New Orleans. No more worrying about Russ. And then Russ, you can do everything else, which I don't think Russ is all that happy about because he wanted everything.
Right.
But it's better than nothing.
Right.
So that's how this power structure came to be. I don't think it was Murphy's original choice, but I think he got pushed into it because of the McCarthy situation.
Well, let me just say this. There was no surprises here. LaFleur agreed to the job under those terms.
For sure.
Brian Gutekunst agreed to the job under those terms.
They all knew.
They all knew.
Yep.
This,
no doubt.
This is no surprise to them or of the structure. This was all laid out by Mark Murphy.
But this was all put in place because of the McCarthy Ball.
Yes.
Thing.
And
he kept it going forward.
Yeah, in the years past.
Which is fine. So one of two things are going to happen here. Either they're going to keep this going forward while Mark Murphy is there and it's just never going to change.
Well, you just don't know. You don't know how it's going to work. I mean, the proof is going to be in the pudding, Steve. You don't know if this is going to work.
Listen. If Aaron Rodgers looks like an MVP, it doesn't matter who's up there.
Well,
because
no.
He's going to carry
this
team.
See, then I disagree with that then. Because if Aaron Rodgers looks like an MVP, all credit goes to the guy that whoever you want to fire. That's where the credit goes. Because that would have mean that whoever hired the head coach, that he hired the right head coach. My understanding is... that's where I'm at. Because the head coach to me is most important. And if you don't have the right head coach, you ain't going to win.
And I said this
with Aaron or nobody else.
Before they hired LaFleur, I said it. I don't care who the head coach is. Rodgers is going to be on the revenge, Aaron Rodgers revenge tour.
Disagree.
And that's what's going to happen. He's going to play over his head regardless. Because this is about proving all the critics wrong he's had all offseason. About everybody versus him versus McCarthy.
Doesn't matter.
He's going to go out and have a year.
Not going to matter. Because I've seen head coaches ruin the best players ever in the history of any games. This head coach can ruin Aaron Rodgers, or he could be not as good as he can be. And if he is as good as he can be, then that means whoever hired the head coach gets all the credit.
Can you give me an example of what coach ruined a Hall of Famer?
Well, I'm sure there's a plenty of. I don't know out of my mind, but let me just say this because you want.
I'm just an example of like what could a coach.
Erase. Hold on. Let me just say this. Erase even said that there are coaches that can ruin players.
Sure.
Period. Hall of Famers, I don't care. You have bad coaches. And there are bad coaches out here that you can hire that will ruin players. Now, I don't know if he's a Hall of Famer or not. So if this guy goes in and win with Rodgers, then whoever hired the head coach hired the right head coach. Now, if you don't want to give him any credit for that, now I'm not seeing you and Jones.
I know what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. You people.
You people.
If you people don't want to give him any credit for that, then that's on you.
Who hired him?
I don't know who hired him.
Believes Mark Murphy.
Well, if we're going to give him credit, I need to know who hired him.
So. Whoever you want to, because there are some people who are not going to give Mark Murphy credit for anything. So if you want to, you can give.
So if we're saying Murphy hired him, because I think that's who hired him.
If you want to, you can give the credit
then
to
Murphy
Russ Ball. If you want to.
Right. If you believe.
I just want him to win.
Right, and they're going to.
Just get
13-3, I told you. 13-3, Rodgers MVP, here we go.
I don't know.
Regardless of what else is going on
up there. Listen, Steve, if Rodgers has a great year,
he's going to.
It's because of the head coach. It won't be because Rodgers is doing it by himself. You're sadly mistaken if you think Rodgers can do this by himself without
I don't think Rodgers has been this motivated since he came into replace
Brett. I don't care about
Brett.
Being motivated.
I think it's a huge huge difference maker.
Fine. You can believe that. Fine. I'm just telling you, Rodgers would not be successful without a successful head coach. It all works hand in hand.
Just like a quality beer isn't a quality premium beer if it doesn't have superior ingredients to other ones that you're drinking.
The best water that you're doing it. And I don't know where they get their water from, but if you don't have that base, that good water put in there, because if you're going to go to Flint, Michigan, that ain't going to work.
No, that beer
that water
ain't
going to work in Flint.
That's not fresh spring water. Not like Beauforting, where the spring water comes right up into the brewery.
Right up.
Because the brewery is built on the spring. On. Right on top of it.
Yes.
They also use 100% natural barley and hops. Guys have been doing this at Beauforting Beer since 1764 in the country of Luxembourg. That's over 250 years of family-owned brewing experience. Ever since then, Beauforting has been crafting their brews to achieve the pinnacle of drinkability and smoothness. Guys, I tell you about Beauforting all the time because I enjoy it so much. And my pops enjoyed it over the weekend for his birthday. We grabbed a six-pack of the Chris Pilsner, and all there was the wrappers when we woke up the next morning. The smooth triple ale, the delicious fruit ale, the balanced brune, they're all designed to give you the full flavor that's not going to fill you up. And guys, a little secret about Beauforting beer, unlike other imports, it's not owned by a gigantic corporation. They don't brew it in mass quantities. You don't need to stick a piece of fruit in there to make it taste good. Beauforting is good because it's made in small personal batches with a family touch. Pick up a six pack and try it out for yourself. Total Wine and More, Sendix, Festival Food Locations, Autos. You can get a draft at Cafe Hollander, Benelux, the Nomad, the Sports Club, all different places. If you're out on the golf course, if you're playing at Wanakee Golf Course, more downs out in Waukesha, it's on the beverage carts out there. And if you're going out, check out the Bucks. This week, on Wednesday, Game 1, I'll be out at Fiserv Forum. You know I'm stopping for a playoff Beauforting before the game at Tavern at Turner Hall, and you should too. I'm not saying drinking Beauforting is going to help secure a win in Game 1, but it can't hurt. Whenever you're having one, let Beauforting Bill know at Bill Schmidt Radio, and I'll come and have one of Milwaukee's favorite smooth drinking imports on you, a Beauforting. Beauforting Bill here at 105.7 FM. The Fan, Wendy's Big Show with Gary, myself, Stevie, next with Cash all day. Wendy's Big Show on the Fan, 414-799-1250. You want to get in touch with us, you can also email us live at 1057fmthefan.com. Wendy's fresh, never frozen inbox. Gary Ellerson, former Badger and Packer running back, also the best man of Leroy Butler this weekend at the Hall of Famers, soon-to-be Hall of Famers, sorry, class of 2020. Unnamed Hall of Famer, that's not a prediction, that's a spoiler, everybody. I'm Bill Schmidt, baby. Tausch, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, host of the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show, back on the air Wednesday night after Game 1 right here on these airwaves.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to see how this happens on Wednesday night with the Bucks, because they clearly had more time off than Philadelphia or Toronto heading into Game 7. So now you get Toronto, who's only going to get 2 days of rest. And then having to come to Milwaukee and play. So really, it's 1 day of rest because they'll have to fly in tomorrow, be here tomorrow night, play on Wednesday night, and then say Thursday, and then play again on Friday before going back to Toronto for that early Sunday night tip, 6 o'clock tip here locally. So I just wonder whether or not it's going to be another deal where the Bucks come out a little rusty having not played for a week, because Game 1 of Boston, it was an early start and they've been off a week. That was the reasoning from Bucks fans of why they didn't play well. Okay, well, you're off a week again. There's no early start, but you're still off a week again.
Yeah, no Bush League noon start on a Sunday.
And there's not that long layoff for Toronto, who kind of just looks at it as just a regular NBA schedule. Get a couple days off, come back, play our next game, where the Bucks have that longer layoff. Now, obviously, that's good for Brogdon. That's good for Giannis. That's good for these guys, keeping them healthy. But you just wonder, at the start of this game in Milwaukee, will the Bucks come out looking fresh and ready to go, or are they going to come out looking a little bit rusty and Toronto takes an early lead and jumps out to an early start?
Oh, I'm juiced. They just tweeted out the picture of the T-shirt that they're going to be giving away, Eastern Conference Final Game 1. Got my tickets already. Built to stay, built to advance, built to contend. Sounds similar to
you
how
they... got your ticket already?
Yeah, man. You weren't here on Friday. I dropped it. I had to. 200 I didn't think was too bad.
For one ticket?
For 200 a piece.
Oh, geez.
But and a t-shirt, because, you know, Gary, like the t-shirt, if I went and bought that in the store, that would be like $35. So then that's basically free. So I mean, like, so it's basically, yeah, it's basically like 170. So I mean, you know, it all works out, right? It'll be a wash, maybe, hopefully. I don't know. 414-799-1250. I guess I'll know more when student loans come around next month. Let's talk some more Packer power structure with Bob in Minneapolis. You can join us 414-799-1250 like Bob did. Bob, do you care about the Packers' new structure?
Actually, I like it. I think a lot of people complaining about it are having romantic view of the last two structures. If you're honest about it, since Holmgren left, the Packers have actually underachieved. You've had two Hall of Fame quarterbacks and only won two Super Bowls. I think, especially with the McCarthy years, there's a lot of complaint to that last structure. I like what Murphy's doing. I think you're getting two sets of callers. I think the people calling up and complaining about Murphy are angry that Mike McCarthy was fired, and they believe that it was all Rodgers' fault, and they want to blame Rodgers. And I do agree with Gary that, to me, it doesn't matter as long as you win. But I think that we have a better chance of winning now than we did the last 8 years. There is no way the Packers are going to win a Super Bowl with Mike McCarthy these last 8 years. Partly that's Thompson's fault. Partly that's Murphy's fault. Mike McCarthy's fault, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
There had to be a change. And the people who are so freaked out about the new structure are also the people who are afraid of change. There's just a general amount of people who just think change, you're better off keeping it the way it is than trying something else, because it could be worse. And I think that's what's happening.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Bob.
Here's what we do know, and how this thing is lined up. I don't know everything, but here's what I do know. I do know that LaFleur and Gutekunst are talking. And Gutekunst and LaFleur are... There, Gutekunst is asking LaFleur and his coaching staff, what players you like, who you want. That didn't happen.
Sure. Yep. And it was evident when you watched the draft.
That didn't happen. So if you can say LaFleur doesn't have any power or whatever, what I do know is those two guys are talking. Now, here's what I don't know. Is when it comes to Russ Ball, when contracts are up, can we go get somebody? Can we re-sign somebody? Now, they went out and got these two linebackers.
The Smiths.
Mm-hmm.
In free agency.
Preston and Za'Darius Smith.
Okay. Gutekunst and Russ Ball had to be on the same page in order for that to happen. One would assume. That I don't know. But I do know the coach and the guy that is drafting players are talking about players who they want.
Sparky, you agree?
I have no idea. I don't know what conversations are being had. And I don't know.
I mean, it was quoted in a newspaper.
Right. And I don't I don't know what those weekly meetings were like with McCarthy and Ball and those guys last year, and what LaFleur is walking into this year having to deal with Ball.
No, that's not what I'm asking. I'm asking you, do you agree that Gutekunst and LaFleur are talking about players that are being drafted?
I hope so.
They said it in the paper. You can go read it during Sentinel. That's there.
Well, then why did you ask me what I think if you're going to go to a direct quote?
Because if you're going to go off what Tom Silverstein is saying and you think that's gospel and that's in the paper, I'm telling you also the Journal Sentinel wrote that those guys. So I'm just saying. I'm just giving
you both. Well, that's great. If they are, I mean, that's wonderful. If, right. if they're talking and so forth, that's
if
great.
If you believe Silverstein, what he's saying is true
from
the Journal Sentinel, I'm just giving you another thing that's in the Journal Sentinel. That I would assume that you believe that is true as well.
Sure, great. So those two are talking and working together, and
which you didn't have.
That's good from that standpoint, which is positive. But now going forward, as the rest of this plays out, like I said before, it's going to be determined when things don't go the right way, things don't work out. Because in that Silverstein piece, it also says...
I keep saying Silverstein, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I said the same thing.
It's wrote in there that the football guys, not named Russ Ball, didn't want to pay the money they paid for a couple of those free agent contracts and thought they overpaid and didn't want to be tied to that money going forward and didn't think those guys were worth the money necessarily. But Ball and Murphy were, quote, going for it, so they paid whatever they had to pay to get the deals done. Now, you know me, I'm all about going for it, and I get that. But from the perspective of everybody being on the same page and in harmony with one another, that's going to be a little friction there. Because if this doesn't work out and then they get tied up with some money, then who's it going to fall on? Well, if this article doesn't come out, it would have been, well, Kunin screwed that one. I never should have paid that much money for
said
guy, Amos from the Bears or whoever it was.
No.
That was Kunin's fault. He screwed that up.
No.
Now you read the article and you go, it's Murphy and Ross Ball.
Yeah, free agency. And that's what I'm saying. Free agency, that goes to free agency. That goes to re-signing players, spending money.
When you're writing those contracts.
That's Russ Ball. But what you don't know, if Russ Ball is talking to Gutekunst about free agency and signing of players, I have no idea.
Being like, I think we could get this contract here.
Or like, for example, hey, man, we think Gutekunst goes, man, I think Julius Peppers got at least one, two more years, and we need to sign him. Mm-hmm. And Russ Ball says, no, I don't think so. We're going to let him go. Hey, Charles Woodson, he's at least got a couple more. And Gutekunst says, and then LaFleur.
Can we restructure this at all?
Yeah, and LaFleur, I think he's got two more, too. They are. But Russ Ball says, no, we're going to let him go because we can't. That I don't know if that's
and
what's happening. Who's doing that?
And where does Murphy go when it comes to that?
Right.
So when the football guys go, we need this player, and Ball goes, no, we don't. We're good.
We don't. Right.
Does Murphy go with Ball or does Murphy go with the other guys? Because Russ Ball is a, quote, football guy, too, just like Mark Murphy. So that is the thing. And
because
like
Ball
I said,
is not going in a room and drafting players. We do know that.
That was pointed out, right.
Right.
But this is what I'm saying. If they play well this year, which I think they will, none of this will be an issue. You're not going to know whether or not this is going to work until they run into problems and they don't have a great year. Then let's see how that all plays out. Are they all on the same page, or are there leaks all over the place and everybody wants to kill each other of the Power Four?
Well, one place
I don't see him. Nine games is where I got him. I mean,
but that's not losing it. Tom pointed out in the air, if they go, say, 4-12 this year,
like bottoming out.
That's going to be a problem.
That's a disaster.
Correct. That's what he said.
And that tells you, to me, that Mark Murphy hired the wrong coach.
Sure.
If they go 4-12. That's a disaster.
Mm-hmm. He's directly working for those 16 games, those wins.
But that goes back to if you believe Steve, what he's saying, that he's going to have this huge career, I mean, because he's the revenge tour.
Aaron Rodgers' revenge tour 2019.
Correct. But they only win four games. That means your coach is not very good.
And Rodgers is about done.
Did I tell you that I made the mock-ups for the T-shirts?
Oh, the revenge tour? Good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know how somebody doesn't have them yet.
I made the mock-ups.
They're calling this the Bucks' revenge tour from the last couple of years in the playoffs.
What
is they dismissed of Boston, and now they get Toronto, who they lost to in the playoffs.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. They're saying this is kind of the Bucks' revenge tour for the last couple of years in the playoffs.
I like that.
Well, give me some time. I got post-game show. If it runs into a rain delay tonight, maybe I'll make the mock-ups of
is
the
Is it a rain delay yet?
It's Bucks
been, raining,
ones.
It's been raining all day.
Yeah, it's been raining.
Santana Dawson was supposed to be at the wedding and couldn't make it out of Houston.
Oh, see, I thought it was just my boy Steve Palak wanted to walk down with two people. I got to meet Steve Palak this weekend.
I saw Steve Palak. He was on Twitter tweeting pictures.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, Santana couldn't get his flight out. I guess it was raining like crazy.
Man. Down there. Yeah, it's apparently raining like cats and dogs out in Philadelphia. We'll see if the Brewers and Phillies can dial it in. The best part is, if it rains cats and dogs here and you got Pella windows, you're not going to have any leaks.
Not at all. Pella Windows and Doors, Wisconsin, best windows and doors out there, folks. Pella has 9 different lines to choose from. Go to PellaWI.com to start the process. And right now, they are offering 0% down, 0% finance for 18 months, no payment until June of 2020. Experience the Pella difference. When you work with Gina Della from Pella, you will work with her entire team, guys, and they're just there to make your job run smoothly. The Pella team installs year-round. So call them up right now, folks, at 262-783-6600. That's 262-783-6600. Or go to PellaWI.com and ask for the zero down, zero financing, zero payments for 18 months and tell Gina Della from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin that Gary and Leroy sent you.
Conversation with our National Baseball Insider Seth Everett in a couple of minutes here on the Wendy's Big Show. I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, former Badger and Packer running back here as well. Gary, just watching the ABC audio video flat panels. Brian Dozier, formerly of the LA Dodgers, now playing with the Washington Nationals.
Right.
Jock Peterson, Brian Dozier makes a nice play, throws out Jock Peterson earlier this weekend. and gave him the one-finger salute.
Right, come on, cuz.
You ever give any one-finger salutes to somebody that you knew on the other team after you may have dogged them or they dogged you?
No, that was actually pretty good. I like that.
That's good funny. Trash talk.
That's good trash talking. And he laughed at it, too.
Come right, on, he's like, come on, man, I'm sorry.
I laid the best hit I could. You wouldn't have got that? Really, dude? Come on, man.
Sparky, you've known Tim Allen for a long time.
I have.
There's a couple of things that Tim Allen loves. There's Las Vegas.
That's his favorite.
His son.
Yeah.
Probably number two.
Yeah.
And the pitcher batting eighth.
So yes, Tim Allen wanting that for a while.
Is going to get all three. He's going to be very happy today as the Brewers lineup is out for game one against the Phillies. Kane, Yelich, Moustakas at second base. Yasmani Grandal cleaning up playing catcher. First baseman is Eric Thames. Good contract year. Get him in there right in the middle. Travis Shaw back in the lineup hitting sixth, playing third. Orlando Arcia, Freddy Peralta going to start today. No opener being used as Adrian Hauser was used in the bullpen earlier this week. And Ben Gamel hitting ninth and playing in left field.
Not really all that surprised. I knew they wouldn't go that very long with Hauser. The next day I came in here and said, so how long is this going to go? And you and Gary both said, until it doesn't work. I said, okay. Hauser comes to the game on Friday. I turn to Billy. I go, why is he in from the bullpen? It's fine.
I figured it was middle of the week. Yeah.
He's fine, Spark. Don't overreact. It's fine. He'll still pitch in front of Peralta. Okay. Get up this morning. I read counsel. Yeah, Peralta's just going to start. No opener.
Now, I wonder if some of that has to do with a 15-inning game on Saturday, even though neither of them pitched.
Could be. I mean, they just called Barnes back up.
Goody.
I mean,
Jacob Andrew. I'm pulling for that guy.
Yeah. Well, you and his family. I just think that, if this game happens tonight, now maybe they're counting on a rainout. Maybe they're if he starts, it's never going to get through four and a half innings or whatever to be a complete game anyhow. So he'll go out there, pitch one or two innings, be done, and then we'll go to the bullpen after the rain delay. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's they don't think they're going to play anyhow, so why bother? I have no idea. It doesn't make any sense to me why you'd run him back out there in that role, considering how well it worked last time, unless, like you said, they simply have no other option.
And the struggles that they've been having, right, with Freddy Peralta. Gary, and once again, we get distracted. We're like kids. Sometimes shiny things get in front of us. I am, that's for sure. Did you see the Texas A&M sprinter?
Yeah.
Now, I know you were old track coach.
Yeah, that happened to me.
Used to run track, I should say.
Yeah.
So you track too. Use the diving method to try to get across the finish line?
I did that once.
Did it work?
No, I think I came in third or fourth, but yeah, I did that. Exact same thing that guy did. Did that. And this was on like a cinder track with like rocks.
So no give.
Well, it had rocks. They all got up on your skin when you fell down.
Not like the rubber kind of composite stuff they have now.
Yeah, it was like dirt and rocks mixed together. That's back in the day before we had the rubber stuff.
Right.
I was running like how Jesse Owens ran. You know, it's old stuff, cuz. Cinder, they used to call it. I think that's what they call it. If anybody know what cinder was, let me know. I think it was like rocks and dirt kind of mixed together. Man,
just like straight gravel?
Oh, yeah, straight kind of gravel, cuz. I dove, and I think I told a story before. You could do anything you wanted to do to me right there at that point.
Right after that 400?
Because I couldn't move. I could not. Everything locked up because I could not move.
Oh, man.
That 400 and those intermediate hurdles, grown-ass man race.
Yeah, those are different races.
Them two right there?
Those were the reason why I was glad I wasn't fast.
What?
The 400 and the intermediate hurdle runs. No way anybody was asking me to do it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, good. No chance.
No chance. I was free on that one.
Those are the worst two races, that 400 and that intermediate hurdle. Is it 300 intermediate hurdles? Or what
200 and 300 intermediate, yeah, I think.
Man.
Those are brutal.
I did the hurdles once, the intermediate ones like that, too. Same way.
You think Seth Everett ever did the hurdles?
No.
Yeah, I can't think so. But he did work in the MLB commissioner's office, and he talks baseball with us next, Wendy's Big Show on The Fan. .5 FM, The Fan, 1250 AM in the radio.com app. That's how you listen to the Wendy's Big Show, 2 to 6 right here on The Fan this time every Monday. check the national baseball scene with our guy Seth Everett on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. We go to him now.
Seth.
We appreciate his time. Seth, appreciate it, man. Still haven't seen Avengers Endgame, but that's not why we called you. Why we called you was to talk about the Milwaukee Brewers and a tough series. Some tough sledding against the Chicago Cubs.
Talk about baseball, not just the Brewers.
Well, yeah, baseball.
There are 29 other teams, but if you have any questions.
But we'll start with the more important one, and that's the Milwaukee Brewers. At this point, man, you have a series against the Chicago Cubs. Toughly contested series. You lose 2 out of 3. But some folks that we were listening to, especially on the postgame show last couple of days, not too enthused with how the Brewers are swinging the bats at this moment. But can you explain just what the weather conditions can do to Major League Baseball players?
It's brutal. Have you ever fouled the ball off when it's that cold? I mean, I'm right outside Philadelphia, right? I'm like an hour and a half from Philly, and I'll be going to the later games of this series, and it's bitterly cold. I mean, people are breaking out the sweaters. Like, I know Wisconsin, they're used to it, but you also have an indoor ballpark, and it's really cold. What I think it's hard to do is just pick up trends. Because every day is a different day, and it sounds cliche, but when it's this cold, it's very hard to stay hot. But, you know, look, you're right about tightly contested. I thought Saturday's game was the most compelling, to be honest with you. Friday night was fine. I had no issue with that, and Sunday I really didn't have a big issue. I think there's still a lot of battle between those two teams, and I think it's going to come down to those two teams. But, you know, to complain about offense when it's that cold, it's a hard thing because guys are throwing so hard, and if you hit it wrong and you foul it off, that sting, there is literally nothing like it.
You know, you talk about these extra inning games that the Brewers continue to play, 18 innings, 15 innings, all of this fun stuff that they've had going on over the weekend. I think if you look at this Cubs series, considering everything, I'm pretty happy with this pitching staff, man. They pitched their butts off all three games and really kept these hitters in the midst of these games, even though the hitting went cold, as was the weather and the rainy conditions, obviously.
Well, and that's what it's going to come down to. I mean, you can talk all you want about offense. This is going to come down to pitching and defense. And, you know, this road trip's, I think, a compelling road trip because you're going up against good opponents. I mean, the Phillies are probably going to win their division. Let's call a spade a spade. Now, not everybody on the Phillies is playing well, but if you look at that lineup, they're stacked. They have a better offense than Milwaukee. There's no question about it. And that's without Bryce Harper hitting. So it'll be very interesting to see how they play this week. Atlanta's another interesting team. You know, they have high expectations, but they haven't been great so far. There's no slouches on this road trip. So it's a good test. Let's just see. You know, anytime you go into a four-game series against an opponent like that, my mentality is a split. Anything more than that, you start to really feel good about yourself.
You know, about a quarter way through here, any surprises so far in the Major League? Teams?
It's hard to say surprises, you know, because I'm not disputing it, but for example, like, I didn't think 12 guys would go on the disabled list for the Yankees.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't see that. You know, I don't think anybody saw that coming.
Right.
And I think that what happens as a result of that, I didn't think Seattle was any good when they got out to their hot start. They're under 500 now. I thought Boston was a concern in April, but they're starting to play better now. But as far as, you know, there really is only about 14 good teams, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Minnesota's kind of a missing link. I'm not so sure about that. By the way, can I make fun of your former host?
Yeah, who would that be?
Yeah.
Rami. Can I make fun of
sure,
him?
Go right ahead.
Yeah, he's fighting a battle in Minnesota. I don't think he should be fighting, but go ahead.
No, but it's a battle that this doesn't make sense. Why is this a trend? I told Minnesota that without a roof, it would be a big thing. That was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Just because he got here, now it's a story again?
Well, Rami's big.
Yeah.
Rami's pretty
make it
big
a thing.
Deal.
So. You got to make it a thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is. I tweeted him, and I just said, dude, this is an old story. What are you doing?
Yeah, but it wasn't. It's new to Rami, though.
But that's the thing. That's like saying Friends is new to people. Like, oh, really? Ross and Rachel? He said the wrong name?
Okay.
Best part is you can only pour gasoline whenever you can walk up to.
Professional segue right there.
Thank you.
The
That's why he took Rami's place right there.
I understand. But, you know, look, there's talent there. There's no secret about it. There's definitely talent. They had talent 2 years ago, and everyone thought they were a flash in the pan. They were determined to prove otherwise. And what their difference was is they weren't reliant on the kid, Sano, because he's been hurt and he's been in the minors. Mm-hmm. He hasn't been a huge impact on them, and they've played better. Cleveland, you know, with the Kluber injury, that is the great equalizer. Because if a healthy Corey Kluber's on that team, you immediately think the Indians are the winner in the Central. But if you take Corey Kluber out, and he's out probably for the year, now all of a sudden there's a new wrinkle into the whole thing. And don't forget, you have bad teams. You have the White Sox, you have Kansas City, and these teams feast on them. So you're starting to see the records, and you're starting to see, like, nobody's playing 700 ball. And at the same time, there's only a handful. And what I don't think it'll be is more than a two-team race. Can the Minnesota Twins hold off the Cleveland Indians without Corey Kluber? Yeah, they totally can.
Let me ask you this. Brewers lineup is out tonight, and they have Peralta batting eighth. Tim Allen, who does the post-game show.
I heard they might not play tonight.
Yeah, that's what I think, too. Right. I said that earlier. But Tim Allen loves the pitcher batting eighth, and when he hears about this lineup, he's going to be very, very excited. Your thoughts on that pitcher batting eighth?
It's trying to reinvent the wheel. It doesn't have a massive input. By putting the pitcher eighth, what you're essentially doing is you're shortening any rally that can be generated 4, 5, 6. Because if these guys get on the on base, who's hitting them home? The fact of the matter is that by putting the pitcher eighth, what you're essentially saying is your leadoff guy is an RBI machine because you're trying to put a hitter on before him. I don't know. I don't see – there have been studies done about pitchers batting eighth, and offenses have the exact same statistics. So the lineups don't – it's literally like I've heard managers say they would literally take the nine names and roll them out onto a canvas – and whatever order they fell in, that would be the order. And most managers do believe that. I think it's paralysis by analysis.
Seth, I heard you or saw your tweet when we tweeted out that you were coming on, that there are big things happening in Milwaukee and you're not named Giannis. We can't wait to be talking MLB playoffs with you, but right now we'll live and bask in the glory of the Bucks going to Eastern Conference Finals. But we'll still talk to you next week on Monday. Make that Tuesday because next week's Memorial Day.
Next week's Memorial Day?
2 weeks from now is Memorial Day.
Yeah,
I'm
from
all
today.
Messed up.
No, you're right.
Right? Am I right?
No, 2 weeks from today. Two weeks from today.
2 weeks from today.
So we'll talk next
May 27th.
Monday.
We'll talk next Monday, and then 2 weeks, we'll talk on Tuesday.
All right, here's a project for Memorial Day. Mm-hmm. See you endgame.
Oh, yeah. See game. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, see game.
Yeah, all right, Seth, we'll talk later. Appreciate it, buddy.
That's 2 weeks.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe. I'll see. Maybe we'll see.
It's 3 hours long. Don't go to the bathroom before you go.
Okay, that's good coaching. That's the only kind of coaching we get.
And that's true. I didn't get up during the whole movie.
You didn't get up at all?
Uh-uh.
Thanks, Seth. Appreciate it.
I was very excited.
George's on the Great Midwest
12-year-old about 2 hours in said, dude, I really got to go, but I'm not going. And he sat and he dealt with it as well. No.
Have you ever just like...
Nope.
Finished off the soda and...
Nope.
Went that way?
Not in a movie theater, no.
At Lambeau Field?
No, in a boat.
Yeah, I always do it. But with the boat, you just go off the
side. Yeah, you just go off the back.
Yeah, no, I'm not doing all that.
What?
No. I mean, y'all want to expose yourself to other people. That's on you, but I'm not trying to do that.
Is that something that you learn in the locker room, you think?
Yeah.
Like just go off the back of the boat?
No, I'm not doing that.
There's no way. I'm just
you're walking around. I mean, when you go to the shower and you come out, you're walking around.
That's different than other people being on boats and you just whipping it out for
it's
everybody.
Same people. Just get used to it. It's the same people.
That's
people.
Just eyeballs.
Just people. Same people.
Yeah, just people. People just helping people, really, is what you could say.
See a little butt. That's about it.
This is the Wendy's Big Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 AM in the radio.com app. Till 5:30, we're here today. 2 to 6, we take you home. Appreciate you hanging out with us on The Fan. And guess what? You got 2 minutes. Money coming your way here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.